Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today, I wanted to create an episode about something I posted on social media recently. On my Instagram account, I posted a post called How to Supplement If You Are Supplement Sensitive. And a few people commented on the post and they said they had found it really helpful. And they said, no one is talking about this. No one is providing guidance on this. So I also wanted to create this information in a podcast format that people can listen to, because I know sometimes people struggle to read or some people don't go on social media. So that's what I want to talk about today, is I want to talk about what you do if you are supplement sensitive. Before I do that, I guess I kind of just like to start with a little bit of an update on me and my life. I appreciate that these episodes are published usually, anything from like a month to two, sometimes even 3 months after I've recorded them. So you probably get a delayed update on my life, but hopefully it's still nice to know what's going on behind the scenes here. So I got back from South Africa a couple of weeks ago, and I have just been reintegrating back into work life. I was quite fortunate to have a quieter week back at work, my first full week back at work. I had a few clients who wanted to delay their appointments to later in the month. But this week has not been like that, and it has just been incredibly busy. Yeah, there's just always so much going on. And I think, you know, sometimes people don't always know how much work goes on behind the scenes when you're working with people in the way that I work with people. Obviously, you're doing your client calls where there are multiple calls each day. I think 2 to 3 calls a day is about the most that I can handle. Then you're writing up notes after the calls, which, you know, can take anything up to an hour, sometimes even an hour and a half if it's been a particularly complex call, or there are a lot of changes, or there's a lot of medications that you need to like cross-reference with the supplements, or, you know, things like that. And then there's just all the day-to-day running a business, the emails that are coming in from clients between appointments, the inquiries that are coming in via email, the inquiries that are coming in via Instagram, the comments, the DMs, all the different things. And then obviously recording the podcast, creating the social media information. And yeah, it's just a lot. So if there's any spoonies out there who are looking to get a little bit of an admin role and think they would be well suited to helping me with some of this, potentially please reach out, because I think it is getting to the point now where I probably do need a little bit of help. But I'm also quite conscious of like handing over things to other people, because there's a certain amount of training that's involved. And it's also just having the time to do the training. So it's been a lot this week, shall I say. And I've also been doing a lot of my own somatic therapy and working through some big pieces with that. And, you know, the challenge sometimes is you also just need a lot of your own space and time for integration, which is difficult when you're juggling the needs of so many other people as well. If I was to share some positive things, though, I think for January, we've had some beautiful weather here in the UK, just some gorgeous sunny days. I've seen some beautiful sunrises. I've seen some beautiful sunsets. I've been getting back into the ocean this week. It took me a little bit of time to get back into it, obviously, after coming from the hot summer in South Africa to the cold winter here. Plunging into the ocean wasn't the thing I was really being drawn to, but it was only so long before I could stay away. So I've done 3 cold dips this week, about 5 or 6 minutes each, and I'm finding them really supportive at the moment. There have been times when my nervous system has just been a bit more frazzled and they haven't been so supportive. But right now they're feeling good and they're energizing me and they're giving me a lot of lift and mental clarity, which is just a lovely, lovely thing. So that is enough waffling from me. Obviously, this episode will go out in a few weeks' time, but I am enrolling for new clients at the moment. So if anybody is looking for support, please check the website. I just switched it this week, so you can go onto the website and complete an application. It may have changed, unfortunately, by the time this publishes, but if you do know that you're looking for support, please check the website. That's the best place to get the latest updates anyway. So that's enough of a ramble from me. Let's talk about how to supplement if you are supplement sensitive. And so here, let's just name and validate that it's not uncommon for people with chronic illness, such as chronic fatigue syndrome. And I know it's not only people with chronic fatigue syndrome that listen to this podcast, but it's not uncommon for people with chronic fatigue syndrome or other chronic illnesses to be supplement sensitive. And I think it's not talked about a lot, or often people who are supplement sensitive are made to feel like they're wrong, or they're just too anxious, or they're hypochondriacs, or it's all in their head. And just to say that that's not the case. And I guess some practitioners don't know what to do with people who are supplement sensitive. So they might not work with people who have supplement sensitivities, or they might abandon ship and just abandon the client because they feel overwhelmed and they feel lost when the client starts to struggle. And even though I'm kind of going on a tangent here, I think that's why it's what I've learned in my work is it's really important to have capacity to work with people, especially in this space, because you're working with people who are going through some very challenging things, who are probably navigating some of the hardest moments of their life. And human to human, there's a certain amount of capacity which is required to hold that. And you can have fantastic practitioners who know so much, but might not have that emotional capacity. And then you can have practitioners who maybe don't know as much, but they do have good emotional capacity. And they're like, I don't know the answers, but I'm willing to work through this with you. And I think at the end of the day, for me, at least in my nervous system, I know that working with someone whose nervous system feels like supportive and regulated feels much better than working with somebody who just knows a lot of stuff. So that's something just worth mentioning as well, is when you're choosing a practitioner, and I'm not saying choose me because there are amazing practitioners out there, but if you are choosing a practitioner, to choose someone who you really feel has the capacity to hold you in the process. So back to supplement sensitivity. It does mean that if you are a supplement sensitive person, that supplements can aggravate your symptoms or they can make you feel worse. And common causes of this are, it's often comes back to the mast cells, which I've spoken about in some of the previous episodes. And basically it's the mast cells, which are part of the immune system, which can become easily triggered or hyperactive in chronic illness. And they can be triggered by specific ingredients in the supplement. It might not be the supplement itself, but it could be extra fillers or binders or additives to the supplement that are aggravating your immune system. Or it could be literally just the supplement. It also could be supplementing at stages or supplementing certain products which are inappropriate for the stages of the cell danger response. Now, I'm not going to go into the cell danger response and all the stages in this episode because I do have another episode where I talk through all of that. But it's just understanding that if you're in cell danger response one, so the initial threat response part of the cell danger response, sometimes mitochondrial support or B vitamins or methylation support or vitamin D can upregulate processes that the body is actually trying to downregulate at that point in time. And that can be another reason for supplement sensitivity. Also, and this is what I see more commonly in my practice is, yes, I do have people who are just supplement sensitive due to the mast cells being activated, but often supplement sensitivities come up a lot with clients when we're doing killing protocols for pathogens, whether that's mold or bacteria or parasites, or if we're introducing binders to support detoxification. And one of the reasons for this is if we are killing off bacteria or yeast or parasites, these organisms produce a lot of toxins as they die. And therefore, your body has to be able to deal with those toxins. And if the body hasn't been properly prepared to deal with those toxins, or the toxin production is just too fast because you're moving into the protocol too quickly, or the protocol is too intense for your system, then that's going to cause an overwhelm, which is then going to potentially trigger mast cells, but just generally make you feel not very well. And then we need to back off. Same goes for introducing things that might support detoxification, like binders. Sometimes when we introduce binders, it may encourage us to detoxify too quickly. And then if the body isn't prepared for that, then we can feel worse and not better. So if you are someone who's supplement sensitive, these are real explanations for why you might not be tolerating protocols. But it doesn't mean you don't do the protocol. It just means you have to find a way to do it your way, which is what I want to talk about more in this episode. So obviously working one-on-one with a practitioner is ideal because you can navigate that territory together, provided the practitioner also knows what they're doing. But even with the guidance of a practitioner, there might even be some uncertain territory. So with my clients, I guess what I've learned over time to say is just kind of paint like the worst case scenario and then tell them about the possible side effects or possible downside of taking these supplements, and just explain a really conservative unramping protocol for supplements. The more I do this work, the more I'm being more and more cautious, because sometimes I'm working with people, they've tolerated, they've not really thought they had any supplement issues in the past. And then we start some protocol that I think they might tolerate. And then they have a really bad reaction. And then it makes them lose confidence in me as a practitioner. And it makes them lose confidence in the process as a whole. And then that blocks them from actually doing something that could be supportive if it was done more slowly and more sensitively. And, I would never want to stop someone from doing something that could potentially help them. So I think there is uncertain territory, but even going carefully, going mindfully, there might still be some learning on the job, which is required. And we need to start somewhere. It's just like when we start to introduce exercise, we don't know exactly how we might respond to any given exercise plan, but we have to start somewhere that feels relatively safe or relatively sensible or reasonable. We have to gauge our reactions, and then based on our reactions, either, scale up or scale down. And the same goes for supplements. We need to choose a reasonable strategy, begin to implement the strategy, and based on the feedback that our body is giving us, adjust the strategy accordingly. So some trial and error is expected, and I appreciate that not everybody has the finances available to work with a practitioner. Obviously, this podcast is not considered to be taken as medical advice, but if you were trying to navigate some of this territory on your own, hopefully there might be some useful takeaways that you can use as you introduce some supplements. So if someone is supplement sensitive, what I would usually recommend is not to really start making changes with supplements in the beginning, but rather work on things like stabilizing blood sugar, which I talk about all the time, stabilizing the nervous system, which I talk about all the time. And anecdotally, I have worked with several clients with mast cell activation syndrome, and they found brain retraining programs really helpful to support their supplement tolerance. I obviously have the Nurturing Resilience, a subscription, which maybe focus on somatic practices that could potentially be supportive too, but different things work for different people. I think it's really important just to have a consistent routine and to have mastered pacing. That in itself is sending safety signals to your nervous system, because if you're constantly doing too much, constantly, even if you don't consciously notice it, if you're pushing through, overextending yourself, doing too much, ending up in patterns of boom and bust, that's not sending safe and supportive signals to your nervous system. That's sending opposite signals to your nervous system. So we want some sort of routine where we we pace really well. And that includes a sleep routine where we go to bed at the same time, we wake up at the same time. And if it's within capacity, we view morning light and we view a sunset or light at the end of the day while the sun is setting. Sometimes, depending on where you live, might not be possible to actually see the sunset, but you get outside for a little bit of that end of day time. And then we can also, depending on the person, reduce exposure to known environmental triggers, maybe even reduce exposure to EMFs and reduce exposure to foods, which we know that we react to, especially if you have a lot of mast cell activation going on, like a low histamine diet before you really introduce any supplementation could potentially be supportive. So if you're not tolerating supplements, that could be even, 6 months of work for you, just stabilizing your blood sugar, getting into a good routine, supporting your nervous system, working on your sleep, reducing triggers. That's potentially, lots that you can get busy with before you've even needed to take a supplement. And I guarantee, depending on your state of health, by doing all of those things, you would start to feel better before even popping a pill. So when you are ready to take supplements, here is a guide. So what I've learned over time is it's better to just start with one supplement at a time. And it's ideal if that one supplement is also a single ingredient supplement. So it's not a combination supplement where you've got several different products in one supplement. You're taking one thing like oregano, or activated charcoal, or quercetin, or magnesium, or whatever it might be. It's just one thing that you are taking. Depending on the person, I would just say take the smallest possible dose. So even if the dosage is 2 capsules a day, you might just start with 1 capsule a day. And then in some cases, individuals might actually have to open the capsule. Just take a little sprinkle of the capsule in some water, and that's all they have. And so then wait 2 days. If you have no reactions after 2 days, so you take the capsule day 1, you wait day 2, you wait day 3. On the 4th day, then you could take another capsule, and then you wait 2 days. And so what that basically means is like every 3 days, you're taking your supplement. And then you might just want to roll with that for a little bit. Every 3 days, you take your supplement. Every 3 days, you take your supplement. And then you could try either add in another supplement, or you could potentially do the supplement every other day, for example. And it's really hard to know. I'm sure you might be listening to this and like, how quickly can I build up? How much am I supposed to take? And it's going to be so individual that I can't give a specific guide. But what you want to think of in this specific case is more isn't always better. What you tolerate is the best. So it's just working out what you tolerate of any given product and taking that, and not assuming just because you're only taking this product every 3 days that it's not doing what it needs to do. It might just mean that your protocol needs to happen over a prolonged period of time. Often a lot of people with supplement sensitivities have mold, and these mold protocols, you want to maybe be thinking about being on them for at least 6 months, but probably if you're really sensitive, 1.5 years, if not more. So it's little changes made over time, this sort of low and slow approach, which is what you really want to aim for. But what happens if you do react to something? So you take your one capsule and then you wait 2 days, but in those 2 days, you have a little bit of a flare up, or you get a sense that for whatever reason, this product hasn't agreed with you. Then you want to discontinue for 3 days. And then you may then may then want to try the same again at a lower dose. So for example, maybe you tried a capsule, but then that was too much. So now you can open the capsule and you can sprinkle 1/4 of a capsule in some water, or 1/2 a capsule in some water, and you can see if that's tolerated. In some cases, you might be sprinkling your 1/2 capsule or your 1/4 capsule or whatever it is in some water, and you're sipping on that water throughout the whole day. So it's taking you a whole day to have your 1/4 capsule of whatever you're trying to have. That might be all that you tolerate. And I hope if you're listening to this, that you can really be validated that that's okay. Over time, you may slowly be able to build that up to now a half capsule or two sprinkles or whatever it is, so that over time you can gradually build up. What I've noticed with clients is sometimes all is going well, they're taking the supplement, but then suddenly they might go into like a big flare. It's almost like a buildup in their system. And if you get any major flares, then you need to stop your supplements for 2 weeks. So we really want to give time for those mast cells to restabilize before we try or introduce anything new. And in that time, you can do things like make sure you're hydrated. If it's within your practice, you could do some lymphatic drainage, maybe even some sauna if that's something that you're tolerating. Although I would probably say if you're somebody who's very supplement sensitive, you may likely be heat sensitive as well, and the sauna might not be a good idea. It might be another thing that's too activating for you. But you know your body and what your body responds best to. It's just really important that you never push through. So if you are noticing that you feel worse and you're like, I'm just going to like keep going, kill all the stuff off, and then I'll get over the hump and I'll feel better, that's not the best approach for the most part. So less is more, slower is better. And remember that the dosage that is best for you is the dosage that you tolerate. And if you are someone who's sensitive, you just might have to be in this for the long haul. And as somebody who's not very patient, I can appreciate that it takes a lot of patience to keep going. But as long as you're seeing those, even just micro improvements over time, then you can be reassured that you are heading in the right direction. So I hope you have enjoyed listening to this today. If you are someone who's supplement sensitive, perhaps it's given you a little bit more of a guidance of things that you can think about. And I will see you in the next episode.